Welcome to the podcast, everybody.
Now, regular listeners of the radio program will have heard a live read we did the other day. A live read is, of course, just a commercial you hear during the ad breaks, but it's our voices. And you would have heard one for the Daily Tally. And it was an article that they were going to have in the newspaper about the new program to hit schools right across Newcastle and the Hunter to reduce the calories our young people are eating in, you know, their lunch boxes and stuff.
Yeah, by 600 kilojoules a day from memory.
600 kilojoules.
A lot of kilojoules there.
Which, that's nearly 150 calories.
According to the article, is half a McDonald's cheeseburger.
Yeah.
I don't know, why would they give that scenario, half a Macca's cheeseburger, when we're talking about kids' school lunches? No one is rocking into school with a McDonald's cheeseburger and waiting till midday lunchtime to eat it. I was like, that's a weird scenario. But anyway, the main culprit that they're trying to work on removing from kids' lunchboxes from 2021, boys.
LCMs?
Ooh, mate.
Poppers. Roll-ups.
You're in the realm. Muesli bars.
No. Oh, really? They're so bad for you,
muesli bars are terrible.
The yogurt top ones.
So apparently that's the big one that a lot of parents think, oh, I'm giving my kid a healthy treat. Like, you know, we've got their sandwich, we've got their apple. They need something else to pad out the lunchbox. Mm-hmm. I'll chuck in a muesli bar. Apparently they're the biggest culprits that this program called Swap It, devised by the University of Newcastle, that's the main one they're targeting. Mm. It's got a target on its back, muesli bars.
Goodbye, muesli bars. Mm. What about cannolis? Like, if you just have a lunchbox full of cannolis.
I mean, how many wogs did you go to school with, Gilly, that they were rolling in with cannolis?
I'm just thinking they're quite calorie dense. If you had that in your lunchbox, you could cut out like 1,000 calories with each one.
Maybe you add it to it so you can cut it out to claim you've cut out so many.
Oh, I love that idea. Like when an item's on sale for $1,000, like, but it's down. Yeah. $1,200.
So good.
That's
I must get it.
That's insane.
What about sesame snaps? Remember sesame snaps?
Oh, I love sesame snaps.
They're just honey, isn't it? Like, it's just stuck together.
Literally. And then you mentioned yogurt topped muesli bars before, the yogurt topped sesame snaps.
Yes, you did.
They were, if you're feeling fancy for a Wednesday.
Yep.
Mm. I wonder about Dunkaroos. Oh, how calorific are they?
Do you know what? In this whole article, not one mention of the Dunkaroo.
Really?
What about the humble Lafourche that I used to have in my lunchbox?
Only French descendants.
Le
Fruche and Petit Miam.
Ah, Petit Miam.
Because you're the only ones that could pronounce it properly. Yeah.
Yogo? Do you guys remember Yogo?
Yogo the one that had like, it was like a double container and half of it had your little choc chip or some sort of chunk and you bend it over to put it
that
in?
That was your generation of Yogo. My generation of Yogo was just that chocolatey or strawberry goop.
Yes, it was
just
goop.
Just in a tub.
Yes, yeah.
Was that food?
No, absolutely. What that was. Yeah, it's like getting like pudding for lunch or something. You know what I mean? Like,
those kids that would have the rice pudding.
Yes.
What
in that little white container.
They were gross.
That's disgusting.
I never liked the long cheese sticks that you string.
Stringers.
I hated them.
That's not cheese. Yeah. It's like the plastic cheese. What's that called? Yeah. Singles. That's not food.
And they come in like little plastic pan. You rip it open and you have your single cheese.
How bad for the environment. We used to eat in our lunchbox.
Individually packed plastic
cheese. Individually.
I know a kid whose filling, when back when you used to have like the metal fillings, actually came out with a roll up.
Like, he snapped it out.
Yeah, because it's so sticky
and
sugary.
What even is that? I remember the ads for roll-ups and it was just like some kid with an apple and maybe a peach and he'd like smash it with a hammer and it magically became a roll-up.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, how much fruit is in a roll?
Yeah, like, there's a quarter of an apple in this. And a buttload of sugar. Yeah.
Growing up, we had fruit juices and a big font. They've reduced it now, but it said, with 5% real fruit juice.
And you'll take anything.
Don't brag about that.
That can't be good. That was like, my mum used to be a big fan of this orange juice in inverted commas, but it literally on the label, I was like, Ma, when I learned how to read, it says orange drink. That is not juice. Like, it says drink on the label.
Yuck.
Yeah, it's 90% fat free. 1/10 of this is fat then.
Yeah, I used to have the Nutella tubs. I told you that.
Those little sachets of
Nutella. Think about it, like Nutella with a fruit, and I'd have a muesli bar, have a little packet of shapes.
You should be the size of a house.
Yeah. That's really odd, isn't it?
Yeah, you couldn't get away with that these days with all the lunchbox,
shaming.
The stigma that goes on. Oh. Couldn't get away with
and
that these
Devon
days.
Devon sandwiches? Anyone else get on the Devon and tomato sauce sandwich?
Speaking about stuff that isn't food, what is Devon?
Who knows? But God, it's good.
That should be in the aisle with like the light bulbs and the batteries at Woolies. It should have been a food aisle. This is the time of the week. officially where we share with the team something we're doing, thinking or saying. That might be weird. Let's be real. Our whole show is basically us being weirdos. But today, Nick Gill steps up to the plate.
Yeah.
Famously strange. Mm. What have you got for us today?
Okay. So today's something that happens in social scenarios and it's a bit of self-analysis. So I don't know why, but sometimes somebody at the start of a conversation will say something very mildly funny. And all I want to do is, right? But for some reason, from a physiological perspective, all the air doesn't quite get past my throat for a while. And then the air builds up heaps and then it comes out way too loud and late. So instead of going, I go, and it comes out really loud. And then for like half an hour after, I refuse to laugh because I'm so self-conscious about what people thinking about what that laugh, like why it was so over the top.
Has anyone ever pointed this out to you, questioned your delayed reaction or your intense reaction? Well, or are you just noticing
it's going unnoticed? Well, occasionally you get like a little look because it's genuinely like, you know, the kind of thing that you would say, which would garner a, you know, just like,
yeah, not funny.
These beans are a little bit hot. You know, what do they say about beans? But I'm like,
people,
and then also I'm like,
what?
Oh God, that was way too loud.
When I do think of Nick Gill, very generous laugher.
Yes.
But has it all been because his body is weird?
His body's like, just trying to get it out.
He's just having a spasm of a giggle.
Okay, well,
actually thinking we're all hilarious.
Do you want to do the timer here?
Yeah.
And 13, 10, 60, if you ever do that, I don't think anyone will.
This?
If you can explain it, here we go.
3, 2, 1.
Weird.
Yeah.
Do you know what it is? We joke how old Nick is, how his bones creak, his hips give way.
Yeah.
I think this is just like another old thing.
It's like, just getting my your throat's reaction. Not working.
It's like sometimes you're like, hey, you know what you think this? He's like,
you've run out of steam.
No, but the builds
like
up so much.
Like an iron that doesn't have enough water in it, so it can't
exactly
get all
like
the creases
that.
Out. But when you pour water in it gives you that big puff.
Yeah.
I think
you puff him out. And he's like, oh, I'm back. Sorry, guys. What happened?
The tank is empty from old age that you can't get it out in time or at the right level.
I think I need to lubricate my voice box more.
Yeah,
WD-40 the voice box or something.
That's so weird.
It's so weird.
It's strange that you do that.
And like, you can't even get across how loud that is across the air. But
sounds like Ms. Grabapple.
It does.
But it is so loud. There is such a backlog of air that gets caught in my throat that it comes out alarmingly loud when I do it.
I'm going to be so conscious of this now from now on,
Ducko. Yeah, me too. Like, in this show when we all laugh at each other. Like, is he just faking it with us?
No, because when I laugh with you guys, it's natural and you can hear it because it's multiple, you know, it's like that kind of stuff. But this is when I'm just trying to give almost a shrug of the laugh world. Just like,
right. Give a little bit of support.
Yeah.
Do you do it to anyone in the office frequently or have you done it?
Oh man, it's happened to so many people I know.
It sounds like boss territory,
doesn't
it? You're just trying to give a little, you know, friendly giggle. Oh,
yeah.
I like
hey,
what
Nick,
you're putting
how
down.
You doing? You working hard or hardly working? It's like, oh God.
Oh, I did it again.
That
didn't
was
I?
Too much.
What happened? What happened to me?
I can't laugh now
what
for half an hour.
Predicament.
Yeah. No, it's so awkward.
Or do you think it's because like you think you're quite funny and you're on the radio for a living and stuff, so everyone else you don't find funny. So you sort of just like,
oh, is it like a subconscious thing to teach this person a lesson?
Yeah, like, oh my God.
Don't try with the gags.
Yeah. That's my shtick. Don't you be doing that.
Yeah. No one else be funny. It diminishes my hilarity.
Yeah. I'm going to give you a big shout, huh?
I'd love to head to the phones, but no one called.
Yeah, you're on your own here, brother.
Because that is very strange.
Thank you for the non-support, the Hit family and you guys.
You're welcome.
No worries, mate.
Always here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big goose, wasn't it?
In the last 48 hours, we found out that the 2024 Olympic Committee has confirmed that breakdancing will be a part of the 2024 Olympics. Got mixed reactions from the world, but we wanted to hear from somebody actually in the inner sanctum of the breakdancing world based in Lake Macquarie. It's Ron Heathcote from Breakaway Dancers Studios. Good morning, Ron. How are you going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Excellent, thank you. Now, first question. As a breakdancer, A, are you going to be a future Olympian? And B, how do you feel about this?
Well, at my age, if they're taking me for the Olympics, then it's going to be one interesting Olympics. But maybe Masters Games? I don't know.
Okay.
But,
aim for the Masters. I like it.
We won't reveal your age, Ron, but you have been breakdancing for 38 years. So, Hit Family, you do the math.
You could be one of the coaches on the team, couldn't you, Ron?
No, probably not. You need younger people to be coaches for things like this. It's an ever-evolving sport, and to keep up with the latest moves and choreography, you've got to keep on the ball.
On that, you said the word sport, Olympics for sports. I don't mean this in any offence, but is breakdancing a sport?
No. It's definitely the arts, it's dance, it's creative, it's freestyle, it's freedom. So therefore, it's an art. But, you know, any exposure is fantastic for breakdancing. Most people don't have any idea how the level of breakdancing. I mean, so they'll be amongst the fittest athletes at the Olympics. And it'll certainly liven up the after parties.
Well, that's the thing, Ron. You know, when you look at the events that are currently in the Olympics, ones that have been, and even the new ones that are going in, skateboarding, sport climbing and surfing, there seems to be a technical element that you can judge and that someone will come first in. With something that is an art, as you said, that's about freedom, how is someone going to win gold in that? Because it's so subjective.
It's just comes down to who's the best. It may be subjective, but anyone with any experience in breakdancing is easily able to tell who the winner of any tournament is.
All right.
So you might not be able to be a coach or a competitor, but would you be a judge? You sound like you've obviously got the experience, the eye for it. Could we see you in Paris judging these people?
Perhaps commentary, I think, and that'd be about it. But,
how do you commentate judging?
How do you commentate breakdancing? Do you commentate like a sport, like, as it's going on, or do you let them have the routine and then speak after it?
Yeah, you have to do it as you go, and, you know, moves, some of the moves don't even have names, so...
So could you give us an example of a passage of breakdancing that you might commentate?
Oh, God, no. I have no idea how I'd do that.
Push you into jobs. I think that's the fourth time we've tried.
Ron, you're now the expert.
maybe when I've had more than 3 hours sleep, I'd give that one a go.
Yeah, 24 hours.
We have our dance concert coming up this weekend, and it's been a bizarre year, 2020, so we've been doing 18-hour days.
Your students, Ron, at Breakaway Dancer Studio, are they pumped? Are people already talking about trying to qualify, trying to get to Paris in 2024?
I tell you what, it's been fantastic for the kids, you know, because it's such an obscure thing in Australia, especially. Like, it's huge overseas, but in Australia, it's really obscure. But, so the kids feel, I don't want to say validated, but, see, for most sports, if they get in the Olympics, they feel their sport is validated.
Yeah.
For breakdancing, we don't feel validated because we're not looking for validation.
No.
We are what we are.
That's what I was going to say. Like, do you feel, once again, I don't want to offend, mate, but do you feel like you sort of cheated? So some of the sports that aren't in there, do you sort of feel like, we didn't even want to be here and we're here. It's good for the exposure. We'll take it. But yeah, sure, we're not a sport. Like, is there that vibe?
Not really. Not within the hip-hop community. It's just that we see it for what it is, exposure. Any exposure is good. You know, sports are always going to miss out.
Yeah, I mean, you can't have everything in the Olympics.
I mean, so the Olympics either want to be relevant or stick to what they know.
Okay.
And this is a sense of being relevant, and it's also being held in Paris. The French have been world champions at numerous times in breakdancing.
Making sense. So the French are going, right, well, we can't beat the Americans at this. We can't beat the Australians in swimming. What can we beat the world in?
But there's 16 different breakdancing events, just so you know. All of them have a gold medal at that.
Yeah,
we won the tally.
Where does Australia sit? Are we good?
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Well, I think it's probably one of the few sports that every single continent will have a realistic chance of doing really well in.
Okay. Well, we've got 4 years, boys. Maybe we join Ron at the Breakaway Dance Studios. And, so you reckon 4 years is enough to
Can we get to the Olympics in 4 years, Ron? What have you got?
I tell you, there's a lot of fantastic talent in Australia amongst the B-boys and the B-girls. They will always represent really well. Because if you're a breakdancer, you do it because you have a passion. You don't do it because, you know, you've got rich parents or whatever. You have a passion. And it's the only sport that'll be in the Olympics that's had zero government funding for the last 40 years.
True. Oh,
that's
okay.
Interesting. There's so many little tidbits
and
around this.
Physically, it's tough. Like, you've got to be strong. You're holding your own body weight. They're flipping. They're doing all sorts of things. So, you know, good on you guys.
I think a lot of people, when they say it, they'll just be absolutely amazed at the level and the dedication involved. I mean, so the last Olympics had gymnasts doing a move called air flares, which is a strictly breakdancing move, and gymnasts have taken it on because it's that level.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Okay. Right. There you go.
Okay.
If I did it, guys, it'd be break knee dancing, I think.
Oh, well, you know, you guys can always come down and visit me at the studio if you want, and I'll give you guys a lesson. We can put it on TikTok.
I reckon we've got to have a go.
Yeah, like, breakaway dance in Lake Mac.
Yeah.
Should we do it?
Yeah, that's it, man.
We'll see you in 2021, Ron. And
no problem.
Maybe in Paris in 2024.
Thanks,
never
Ron.
Know.
Thanks,
never
Ron,
know.
Mate.
No worries. Thank you very much, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Good luck for your commentary or judging or dancing or whatever it is you're going to do.
Coaching.
Can you explain something for me? Because I caught up with a girlfriend yesterday and she was she's a single lady. And she was telling me that she's been on a couple of dates with a young fella.
Mm-hmm.
And the other night, over the weekend, I think it was, they had their first sleepover. Okay. And she's really enjoyed his company, a couple of dinners, whatever. But went back to his house.
Mm-hmm.
And
tell me more.
He refused to take off his socks. Now, they were, it was a warm evening, so it wasn't like, you know, there was a chill in the air and that was the justifiable reasoning for keeping some woolly socks on.
Yeah.
But they were, and I was like, well, hang on, were other items of clothing, you know, were you so passionate that maybe just the socks didn't come off? And she was like, no, everything else, I was... You know,
good starkers.
Everything was off on both of us except his socks.
Does he have necrotizing fasciitis?
No, that was just me that one time.
Yeah, I'm sure that's the first thing she asked.
Well, this is the thing.
That wouldn't have ruined the mood.
You got to keep the socks on. You got necrotizing fasciitis because that ointment, that'll stain your sheets. You got to keep your socks on. But this is the thing. After they had finished, they were just having a little cuddle.
Mm,
and
as you do.
She was just so curious. And because they'd gotten along really well in their, you know, dates beforehand, she was like, I'm just going to ask. And she went, hey, what's with leaving the socks on? Like, it's funny. I've never seen that before. And he went, don't judge me. And he kind of got a little bit weird with it.
Mm.
And she was like, what's up? He goes, I leave my socks on always because I don't feel like my feet belong to my body.
Freak!
And it freaks me out.
Why is that guy in here again?
He just popped in the right time.
It freaks me out when I see them.
What?
If I'm whatever I'm doing, particularly when I'm trying to be maybe intimate or passionate, because I get out of the zone because I don't feel like those feet belong to my body.
Like they're ugly.
So, I have no idea. And then she panicked. So she stopped delving any deeper because she's like, oh my God. I was like, are you going to see him again? She's like, absolutely not.
But he is done.
So we've got no more information. But I was like, what is that?
So I know you don't possess this information probably, but say he took his socks off, would he then be like, whoa, we're in a threesome?
who's this other person in the bed?
I'm sorry,
my feet have a mind of their own.
But I was like, what does he do at swimming pools?
Yeah.
At the beach?
Wearing thongs.
In the shower?
Yeah.
Does he have rubber waterproof socks?
Does he wear Crocs everywhere?
Does he wear Crocs everywhere? How do you... What does that mean?
Because I thought initially, like, I like wearing socks at all times as well. And, like, I like sleeping in socks. And sometimes if we're doing the deed, I'll wear socks.
Really?
And there's, yeah, I like it. Because
so
not because I'm ashamed of my feet. I have beautiful feet. God.
You won best foot of the team.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
But because, I don't know, like, if I've got my socks on, I feel like I want to keep, like, they're nice and warm and they're comfortable and they're cozy. And, like, if we're getting in the bed and doing it.
But that's a sweaty activity.
I know, but I feel like if my socks are on, I just feel, you know, I just feel safer.
Okay, you might not be in his territory, but this is in the same realm. Okay.
Yeah, and I know it's very unsexy. Everything off except for socks.
You know what? Well, this is the thing. Then we started discussing the logistics of it, particularly early days of a relationship. You know, maybe you're undressing each other, you're ripping each other's. Do you bend down and take his socks off and he does the same to you? The socks are your own job, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. You take your shoes and your own socks off.
It's
so
not sexy to take a sock
off. If you
don't
do it, they're going to stay on.
Yeah. And sometimes you slide around, your feet slide around and stuff because the socks, you know, they
what
slip
are you
on the
skating
sheets.
On the beach?
Nah,
but also, like,
you see the things I get up to.
Recreate that thing. Like, who wears short shorts? Slide in. Yeah. Anyway, the problem is, I think, I always take them off.
Yeah.
Sure. But that is the least sexy move, especially if you've got tight socks. You're kind of lying on your back like a cockroach in distress. Yeah,
like a gentleman suit sock sort of thing. Yeah. So they're not ankle socks.
Yeah. And then you can't quite get it over your heel sometimes.
Yeah, and you're falling
and
over.
And you're like...
yeah.
Straining with your butt in the air, kind of spread eagle, trying to take your socks off. Like, I can see how that might not be something that you want to do.
Yes, yes. But that justification I thought was so bizarre. So we just wanted to put it out there.
Yeah.
13 10 60. Can you explain this? Do you have this going on?
Yeah.
Do you do it? Do you feel like a part of your body doesn't belong to you?
Or is there like a part of clothing you keep on for this very reason? Not just socks. It can be shirt, a hat,
sort of floats your butt.
Sunglasses. Sunnies.
Hey.
What's up?
And 13, 10, 60, we've got tickets to Hoyt Cinemas as well.
We'll reward you for your honesty.
You can be anonymous if you want.
Totally. Can someone explain this? Because I'd like to give my friend some answers and maybe make this gentleman feel a bit better about his thing.
Sure, he feels better driving along right now.
Good morning, sir.
Give us a call.
She had a great time. You were really good. That was weird. And Nathan is in Jesmond. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we?
Great, thank you. Can you give us any explanation as to this gentleman's qualm with his feet?
Yeah, so it's been a bit of a controversial topic at my cricket club this year. It's been really split down the middle between some guys have to keep their socks on and other guys just completely are against it.
I ask firstly, how did it come up at the cricket club?
Yeah, how did
this conversation come up?
It's been ongoing as well.
Yeah, well, this one guy just brought it up one day. He just literally asked a question like, who keeps their socks on while they're doing it? We ended up picking out touch football teams for warm up because like guys who do wear socks and guys who don't.
That is so
shirts
good.
And skins. Yeah, shirts socks
in bed, no socks in bed. Go. Yeah.
That's pretty much it. So he basically said that he finds that he gets more grip and more control when he's got them on.
Okay.
More grip.
Yeah, grip, you know.
On
the
what?
What do you mean? On the
Are you like, hanging from a tree like a monkey?
No, like if you need to like get in positions, like you need to like push off them, you know what I mean?
You have to have more grip without socks, surely.
Depends on your bed sheet.
That was my argument. I'm completely against it, but yeah, I mean, that was the argument from him anyway.
Okay.
Depends on your bed sheets. Cotton
mate, I've got some bamboo sheets. They are silky as.
Yeah.
If Angus kept his socks on, he'd slip right off. Whereas maybe your winter polyesters or your flannelette sheets, they might be a little Velcro sort of situation on a sock.
I kind of picture like the road runner trying to run at the start, how he doesn't quite start straight away.
I picture like Nathan's cricket team like in the field playing a game and they're just like, Gary, so when you do wear them in bed, like how does it go? Like they're not even paying attention to the game.
It's for the grip.
I do it for the grip. What's your weird family Christmas tradition?
The weirdos come out around this time of year.
Yes. And every family does something they think is normal and unique, but it's very strange. The weirder the better. Give us a call. We do have a prize up for grabs. But yesterday, Morgan and I had our little family tradition, I suppose. It's been going now. This is our third year. It's curry and Christmas night.
Yeah, look, you mentioned this yesterday going, guys, tonight's the night. And when you said curry, Christmas decorations at a particular film in sequence, Gilly and I, we were confused, to say the least.
It started 3 years ago where we got butter chicken, we got curry takeaway, and we put up the Christmas tree and we watched Love Actually. And it was a coincidence. And we're like, should we just keep this going sort of every year? Should we just do this as our little thing? We don't, you know, don't have me. We're starting our family together. Should we have some traditions?
Do you do this every day? Do you and Morgan just do something new and go, you know what, on the 6th of Feb, should this be our annual thing? Like, who just does a random series of things and goes, every year we're going to do the same random series of things?
Well, that's how traditions have to start, you know? Curry
Christmas.
I guess you're
right. Someone one day has to go, this was a bit of fun.
Yeah.
Let's do it again.
So it was our curry Christmas night. We planned to do it last night. Finally got a gap in the schedules for Morgan's work because she's a nurse at the John, had the night to ourselves. But yesterday, it started off cooler in the morning, but by the afternoon, it got really hot.
Yeah, it was a bit gross, a bit sticky.
It wasn't curry weather, you know, so we sort of started.
It's the same time of year every year, and you lived in Brisbane.
I know.
Yeah, to be fair, December shouldn't be a curry month.
Yeah, it really shouldn't, but I do love my curry. Yeah, I do love Christmas.
You don't curry boy.
Don't love Love Actually. That movie sucks, but I still watch it every year because Morgan loves it.
Yes.
So we went to Market Town yesterday, went to Big W, we're getting Christmas decorations, went to that, like, doll and cent store thing next to the Big W.
Oh, hot dollar.
To get some more decorations. It's so cheap. I mean, you got to go in there. I was getting all sorts of things, like sanders that you can like glow and they spin around and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not practical. 40 seconds.
Not practical.
I know, with a dog in the house.
Well, yeah. So we thought we'd brought the tree up from down from Brisbane. Right, so we got decorations and stuff from BW, went back home, got a bottle of red wine, sort of tucked into that early. You know, so we're a little bit boozed.
You were merry.
We were merry. Yeah. We were very merry. We were very merry trying to set up these Christmas decorations. And then Morgan's like, let's go get the tree and set the tree up. So we're playing Michael Bublé. The Boobs is playing in the background.
Oh, the Christmas album. Very good.
Absolutely. As we know, he comes
out
of his
cave. He's only got one Christmas album, Michael Bublé.
That's all you need. It's all you bloody
need. Something every year, but no.
It's a brilliant album too. But anyway, so we're playing that in the background, right? Mm-hmm. Boobs is playing. Well, let's get the tree out. We look in the cupboard. We don't have the tree.
I was going to say, when someone moves into state, are you packing a Christmas tree into your four-wheel drive? I don't think
so. No, then we remember we had that very argument when Morgan wanted to pack it. And I said, no, don't pack the tree. And she's like, we're going to need it. I was like, we'll get another one. And she's like, if you just listen to me. And I was like, well, why'd you listen to me? You know, that's on you.
Just not listen to me.
So we're like, okay, we've got some glowing Christmas lights, you know.
Would you just like wrap the fridge or something? Like, what did you do instead?
We had a reef, like a tiny little dodgy reef from the dollar store that we like put on the screen door at the front. And I was like, that looks tragic and depressing. Right. And then we got these Christmas lights and like wrapped them round our railing at the front of the house. It kind of looked jolly. But there's two types of people. People that go all out for Christmas with their front. And people who don't do anything.
Yes.
You can't sit in the middle.
You shouldn't sit in the middle.
You should not.
Yeah, don't bother.
Right now we're sitting in the lower half of middle. Like, it looks so lame and so tacky. And you know how long it takes to get those friggin' lights around each pole? And each
You got to get the whole wad.
Yes.
And wrap it around every single revolution.
And we thought this would be fun and wholesome. I did like two, and I was like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
So it's two wraparounds and then just a pile.
It literally was like halfway. Then we just started just like, can we go every fourth pile?
It starts off really perfect. Like when you're writing Christmas cards, start off beautiful handwriting and then down the end.
It's not all those projects on the A1 pieces of paper that you did growing up in primary school and you run out of space for the title. And it's just a biro by the end.
And then the neighbours came home and I was like, oh God, the neighbours are here. We're a bit merry putting these lights up. It looks so bad. And they were like sort of laughing at us, like kind of giggling. Anyway, we finished that up. It was a solar-powered light show, so it didn't get enough sun that day, so it didn't glow last night. And then we went inside to our one Christmas decoration on the table, and we're like, okay, well, we realised we didn't order the curries. We had no dinner.
I was going to say, is your butter chicken getting cold by now? I haven't heard where the curry's been enjoyed.
We got me frozen like stuff like I slow cooked last week, defrosted it. And
festive. Defrosted.
Defrosted pasta. By the time we put Love Actually on, it was so late. We watched like half of it and then had to go to bed. And
passed out.
I was like, what a tradition we've got.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, curry Christmas night, guys. It was a success. I encourage you all to get around it.
All right. Well, that ain't 1060. What's your weird family Christmas tradition? Is it as good as Ducko's half-assed attempt at curry Christmas?
In 2020, you know, snatch away the joy from your weird Christmas
Let's blame
tradition.
It on 2020, not absolutely. Lack of organisation.
Mr. Kramer on Nick Jess Ducko. Dave Kramer says his Christmas tradition is dunking toasted ham sandwiches into a glass of milk.
Yuck. That is foul.
So I know we leave out the glass of milk for Santa Claus.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why Dave has to
dunk the sandwiches in
dunk
there.
Dunk the sandwich? No. Maybe instead of cookies, he leaves out a ham sandwich?
Yeah, possibly.
And he thought he'd combine the two one year?
Alana says, since I was little, and still to this day, we have a Christmas wrapping paper fight. Like a snowball fight, but Christmas paper. So much fun when you can peg paper at your siblings and parents and get away with it.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
That's a bit of fun. 13-10-60, though. Danielle in Stockton, good morning.
Hi.
What's your weird family Christmas tradition?
So it started probably like 8 or 9 years ago. I worked in retail for a long time and I just could not be bothered when it came to Christmas Day. And we'd go and see our parents. And then for Christmas dinner, we would come home and we would get McDonald's for our Christmas dinner.
And for 8 or 9 years, you've been doing this?
Yeah. Hubby tried to get out of it last year and I was like, no, we have to. It's tradition.
It's tradition.
That's the funny thing about traditions is once you start, it's like, no, this is our thing now.
Yeah.
I've never been to Macca's on Christmas Day. Have they got a McTurkey leg?
Oh, no, we just get the McChicken on a steam bun.
Fair enough.
Fair enough. How festive.
Each family to their own.
Absolutely. Georgia, good morning.
Hello.
Hi. Do you have a weird family Chrissy tradition?
Yes, we do. Every year, we have the whole family over, grandparents, aunties, uncles, and we have an annual beer competition, beer pong competition.
Oh, man. Brilliant.
Beer pong,
how
great.
Festive. Yeah. Very good.
And we actually sign our names on the actual beer pong table, so it makes it official, so everyone knows who won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So like a running trophy with the plaque.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very competitive.
Have you ever won, Georgia?
No, but this year is my year.
Yes.
Well, hopefully, Georgia. I mean, if Ducko's Christmas is anything to go by, Christmas tradition, 2020 stole him.
Yeah.
Robbed him.
Robbed me.
Of the tradition. So hopefully the same thing doesn't happen to you.
No.
Oh, well, hope not. I'm actually 3 weeks pregnant, so I'm not going to be drinking.
Oh, you could win then, because you'll be sober by the end of it.
Your aim should be good.
Yeah.
I'll be on point this year.
Very good.
Good, Georgia.
I actually find with beer pong, I get better and get more drunk. You know what I mean?
Really?
Get your iron a bit more when you're a bit more.
Certainly
blotto.
Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That went in. No, that was the other ball you're seeing in your vision.